Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. You are tuned in to the first episode of the new year of The Real with Sage Single Moms. Yay! Drop confetti, the ball drops. But it is her, she, me, your girl, Miss Jennifer Pink, the visionary behind all of this that you see. And I am stopping by today to introduce all of you, our listeners, to the amazing Sage mentors that we have on the show this season. But before we get into that, let me just give you a little bit of background about me and about Sage mentoring. So I am, again, Ms. Jennifer Pink. I was, got to get used to saying that, I was a single mom of three with three baby daddies. Girl, I done been through it all. I got you. Like, I understand everything that you're going through. And I am now a married woman with a fourth baby. So I guess that's technically a fourth baby daddy. Oh, well. I have a passion for single moms. And my passion is really to build a village, build a community, to support one another, to let each other know that we are not alone in this, and really to help us heal. Most importantly, to help us heal, because not healing is what keeps us stuck and what keeps us in survival mode. And it is time for us to thrive, y'all. It is time for us to climb the mountains, to reach for the stars, and to be amazing because of and in spite of. Sage Mentoring is the organization in which I facilitate services for single moms, such as this podcast. We also do life coaching. Through Sage Mentoring, we have 21-day challenges, we have webinars, I mean, we have anything and everything that will support single moms. We also have a piece in Thrive Magazine. Thrive Magazine is a magazine strictly for the Black families. It is about the healing and the transformation of Black families. And so there's a whole piece just about Sage Mentoring. And just from Sage Mentoring, which focuses on the single moms in that magazine. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure you go check it out right now. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, magazine. And I want to introduce you to the new host of The Real with Sage Single Moms. We have Miss Brittany. Say hi, Brittany.
Hey, guys.
We have Miss Patricia. Say hi, Patricia.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Miss Tasha on the line. Say hi, Tasha.
Hello, hello.
And we also have Miss Nye, but Miss Nye couldn't be with us today due to other obligations, but that's okay because she'll be here next time and you'll get to meet her. So, ladies, why don't we just go right into it? Tell everybody who you are, what you do, how many babies you have, and where you are from. Let's go ahead and start with Miss Tasha. Let's go in the opposite order.
No problem. So I am Tasha. I am born and raised in Richmond, VA. Let's see. I have three boys. I actually call them my man children. They are all bigger than me. My older boys are 16. They are twins. Love them. Love, love, love. And then I have an 11-year-old who is of course, my youngest son, and I homeschool him. I homeschool him because the schools just were not getting it done for me. So I decided to kind of pull him out. He is autistic, and so he keeps us on our toes, but the family dynamic is amazing. So let's see. So I homeschool my youngest son. I do work at night. I work in an assisted living facility at night. And then I'm also working to become a doula. Woo! So I have a lot of things on my plate, but all things that I'm very, very passionate about. And so that's who I am.
We love it. We love it. I just want to tell you I'm a little jealous because you got a 2-for-1 special, and I've always wanted a 2-for-1 special. But I'm not having no
yes.
one. So.
Yes. People always ask me, how is it to have two? And they were my first kids. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to. Like, I've never just had one. So.
Right. Miss Patricia. Now, you were with us last season, but we might have some new listeners. So tell them who you are.
My name is Patricia Taylor. I'm originally from New York, the Big Apple. I currently live in Atlanta, Georgia. I have 3 amazing children, 23, 9, and 4. I have 3 baby daddies. I am a single mom, but I also have been married before. I'm a widow, so I'm a single mom again. And I'm a health professional. I also am a brand ambassador for It Works. So I'm all about taking care of yourself inside and out. And that's me.
Yes. You heard her right. She has a 23-year-old, y'all. She got that knowledge. She like supersedes all of us when it comes to that mother knowledge right there. And Ms. Brittany.
Hey, guys. So I am Brittany Willis, mommy of 2 amazing boys, Brian and Zachariah, and they are 9 and 4. I love them to life. And I am a homeschooling mama, author, makeup artist, and natural health coach. So I coach people on living healthy and choosing healthy natural alternatives as far as remedies and even just healthy recipes for the family, whatever it may be, from drinks to dips to soups to whatever, you name it. I will have a recipe, and whatever cold, I have a remedy for it. And I do it all naturally. And I'm just excited to be a part of the show.
Yes.
And I'm also from Atlanta, if I haven't said that. I'm a Georgia peach.
Well, you know, I clearly have a cold, so you could definitely give me a cold remedy, right? Like,
yes.
Right now. But I love it. So as you see, we have a very diverse group of ladies, and there's only one thing in common, and what is that? Single motherhood. And so that is the basis of this show. That is the basis of this podcast. We are talking about anything and everything that involves single mom life. So let's just get right to it, because everybody that's a single mom, everybody that knows a single mom, it's that baby daddy drama, right? Like, so do you ladies have that? Like, is that a part of your life, or y'all like, drama, what's that?
Definitely so. So this is Tasha. I have it, but I don't have it. I have it because I have my older kid's father is in their life, and he gets every other weekend. But there you have it. That's where that starts and stops. And so I have the drama because in my head it tears my nerves to pieces. That is all that is given. But I don't speak on it as much as I maybe could, because I've did it by myself for so long, I'm fine in the aspect of I can handle it. But I do feel like there should be more. So that would be that part of it. And then I have a younger son, my youngest child's father, who's never been there, never wanted to be there completely, out of his life. So when I say I have it and I don't have it, I have it because I'm the only one that has to deal with it. It's not like I'm arguing with anybody or I'm debating with anybody about what they should or shouldn't be doing. I'm just doing it. So in my head I have it, but they don't know because it doesn't matter to them. They're living life. And so I guess we can kind of look at it both ways.
We're going to have to get rid of the drama in your head. Because you can't be having drama in your head.
In my head. Nobody else is affected by it but me. But it doesn't stop my hustle.
We're going to have to help you let that go. Ain't gonna be no drama no more. Okay, y'all ladies, don't get scared.
Oh, right now, well, this is Brittany, guys. I have two baby daddies as well. And my first son's dad, we have had our ups and downs as far as co-parenting goes, and we're actually are getting better. We have our good times and we have our bad times, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily on me the reason why the times are bad, but definitely communication is a huge problem for us, and he seems to get upset and angry when things don't necessarily go his way because he acts like a big kid, but that's a whole other conversation. But but yeah, so that it was really rough in the beginning with me and him. It was like really rough. That just crazy, abuse wise, physically, verbally, emotionally. So yeah, that was really difficult. But even with my second son's dad, we had our struggles too. When he decided to walk away from the family, and well, not necessarily walk away, leaving me high and dry, but he just knew he wasn't ready to be married and have the family life and all that. He kind of still wanted to play around because at the time he was a little younger. But 5 years later, he has definitely matured, and God is working on our relationship together, which was a promise that God had told me years ago. So I'm just excited to see our relationship blossom now and just allow God to mature us and grow us and bring us back together even closer every day. So that's my two cents.
Uh-oh, we got reconciliation. We got
yes.
Jesus bringing folks to life. Uh-oh.
Miss Patricia?
Yes, reconcile.
Miss Patricia?
Of course, I have had my share of drama. I can say right now, I do not have any drama with my child's father, only deal with one, because my oldest is grown, and with her dad, we had our ups and downs, but we did co-parent pretty well. As I said, she's 23, and my nine-year-old, his father is deceased. At the time when his father was alive, he was my husband, so we had live together and co-parent well also. My last baby daddy is, I don't have no drama because I just don't do drama, but we do not co-parent. We do not live in the same state. He do what he want when he want to do it. It's just like that in a nutshell. We do speak. And I do let him see his daughter, and I'm her everything to both of my children. I'm they all in all at this time, and that's that.
So I'm just gonna share because you know we sharing, right? So I have, let's see, I have the Immaculate Conception. Right, like clearly I'm the Virgin Mary reborn, and I just did this all by myself. I have the overbearing daddy, like the child is like the Messiah for him. And y'all, some of y'all immediately know what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
So we clash because he's like, this child can do no wrong. Like, this is a gift from God. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And my child actually lived with his father versus living with us when we decided to move to Georgia. So that is a very new dynamic that we're working through. And then I have the situation that used to be all bad. Like, when you say drama, we was drama, right? And now to this day, like, he co-parents with my husband. So when I tell y'all that there can be a change, there can be a change. you know, just, you know, realizing, like, over the Christmas holiday, this man came and sat in my house and, you know, to spend time with his daughter. And, you know, he's talking to my husband. He's talking to me. He's, you know, talking to the new baby. He's talking to my other kids. And this is the same man who, you know, when I was homeless, he was like, what they got to do with me? So, like, I share that as encouragement to let you guys know, like, it does not always have to be whatever it is today. Like, it can change. It can grow by leaps and bounds. You know, as a single mom, a lot of times we focus so much on they're not seeing their father enough, their father is not doing enough, their father is not involved enough. And trust me, I've been there, y'all. Like, I done said all them things. I done had the arguments where I was like, I just want you to see the kids. Like, don't you understand that this is all I'm saying to you? And it can change. And it can be like night and day to where you're like, are you the same person? Am I the same person? Is this the same kid? Like, what just happened? So I just want to give y'all that encouragement. Like, it can change. Does that encourage anybody? Because it encourages me when I think about it.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little personal. Dating life. Like, we all know that I'm married, newly married now. So are y'all dating?
That's such a touchy subject.
It is not a touchy subject.
Listen, so the advice that I would give is to not cut the whole world off when you have kids. That's what I did when I had my twins. So I stopped everything. I didn't go out. I didn't do anything. I didn't have a social life. My twins were sick and they were first born. So for that first year, if you saw me, it was like, oh, I remember you. Like, I didn't go anywhere. And I cut the world off. And so my twins were 10. And they were like, Mama, when are you going to date? Now at 16, they're like, don't date. But when they were 10, they were like, Mommy, when are you going to go out and date? And I was like, oh, you know, when the time is right. And, you know, just like scared to put myself out there. And it got to the point where I didn't know what I liked because my sole focus was on my kids. So that would be my advice that wasn't asked for, but to not cut the world off so that you can remember who you are and what you like. But dating, so I've been on a couple at the end of 2017, and it was different, same person, but I'm not that good with getting in my personal space, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't like anybody that's clingy. I like you until you like me, if that makes sense.
I knew that's where you were going, and I was just waiting to see if you were going to say it. I was just waiting to see.
Yes.
I was like, I feel like.
That is so me. I'm all, we can hang out, we can flirt, I give you a quick hug. Don't kiss me, but I give you a quick hug and everything. But when I start feeling like you really like me, I find something wrong with you, and I'm out.
See,
so,
we're going to work through this. We're going to work through this right here. We can't have that. Like, how you going to be married and you know, become a doula and be birthing babies and you over here like, please don't touch me. Like, please don't.
No, but that's different. These mamas, they can touch me. These men, not so much.
We're gonna work through that. I'm gonna help you with that one. I ain't falling for it. Anybody else?
Yeah. Well, this is Brittany, guys. again, but I was just gonna say I was dating like earlier last year, and like not to be like overly spiritual, but God just. He's just God, and he was just like, leave them dudes alone. And I was like, no, I need a backup plan because, like, what if dude don't fall through? And
did you even say I need a backup
stuff.
Plan? Oh!
Like,
I'm
going to
keep a plan
God,
B.
Like, right. I was just like, Lord, okay, wait. I need a plan B because what if you telling me baby daddy going to come back? But I don't know. Like, what if he just decides to go another route? Because there were times I really didn't trust it, guys. I'm not even going to lie, but I really didn't. So I never saw it. I saw it, but I never really saw it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had it hope, but you're like, okay, I only had this hope because I know I heard it, so I'm just going to be like, okay, and I'm going to still live my life. So that's what I was doing, but God was like, cut it all off, cut everybody off. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's a good guy, or so I think he thought he was. And he was like, no, cut them all off. ain't no need for backup plans. What I'm about to do is something that's going to drastically change your life forever. And within a month's time, like, we are in a stage of rekindling. We spent a lot of time together, the holidays and everything we spent together. So I just thought it was really amazing. And just how, you know, the relationship that he had with my first son, we met when my son was like 10 months old. So he's always been in my oldest son's life. My son is 9 now. And I just, well, at, you know, the times we kind of like broke up, he did kind of walk away from him as well. Like, not, it wasn't just me that he walked away from, but he walked away from my son. And I just love now how with us rekindling, like, he's getting him, like, it started with him getting him with our younger son. And from there, it kind of like blossomed. And I thought that was just like, okay, God, whoa, that's dope. But that's, yeah, there we go. That's my
that's
life.
That's beautiful.
Now.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens with that. But God will tell you in a minute. If you don't cut that out, if you don't shut that down, I didn't tell you to
right.
do that.
Right. Just cut it on off.
Cut it on off. And you, Miss Patricia?
Well, dating is hard. I did try to put myself back out there last year and started dating and did it for a little bit. And I cut it off, and I don't plan on dating for 2018. I only plan on dating myself and really focus on being the best version of myself. But I definitely want to get back out there just like having a normal life, because mommy life do consume you.
Wants it. That
mommy
right there.
Can take over, and you start to lose yourself in that.
That is so true. Well, I just feel like sharing because, you know, we're all in the sharing mode.
yes,
it is so
yes.
interesting to hear you ladies say all the things you're saying, because I remember being in each one of those places. Like, I swear I remember being in each one of those places. I remember being like, I don't know, you know, like when people started to like me, like I'd be like, let me think about this. Like, you was cool and all, like, but why you like me? what is it that you really want? I remember being in that place, and I remember being in a place of, yeah, I tried it, and that didn't work. So, you know what? I'm going to date me. I'm going to fall in love with me, and I'm going to do me, and then I'm going to find you. Like, I was in that place, and then I remember being in the place of God telling me, if you don't just shut all this off, like, this is not what I told you to do. Go sit down somewhere, right? Like, and I remember being in all those places, and you want to know what the change was? When I decided to, and it's kind of like being in that place of, you know, I'm going to work on me, and I'm going to love me, but I decided to get serious with that. Right? Like, it wasn't like I was cutting myself off from the world, because I was, you know, if you asked me on a date, like, I would go. I was going outside, you know, like, I had to go to work. And I went to a few little social events because I was running a business. But I wasn't looking, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't online dating. I wasn't looking for anybody or anything. But I was really serious about finding my purpose and doing what God had told me to do. Right, and really working on the vision and really, you know, learning the lessons of my life. Like, okay, Jennifer, so why did we end up in that situation? How did you ever end up dating him? Right? Like, I went back and started to just really pick apart my life. And not from the aspect of, you know, I'm so stupid, but from the aspect of, okay, so what can I learn from this? How can I make me better today for this? And in that process, this man appeared, and let me tell y'all, okay, this man was my Facebook friend for I don't even know how long, right? And you know how you got, let's just keep it real amongst us ladies, right? You know how you got that one Facebook friend, and he kind of cute in his pictures, and he make them post, and you be like, ooh, he look like a real, you know, good brother, right? Like, you be thinking on the inside, but you like, I'm not about to be thirsty. I'm not about to, like, inbox you. I'm not about to, like, overly comment on your post. And then you watching all these other women basically, like, throw themselves. So you're like, yep, not doing that. Mm-mm.
whatever. I got tired of all of this. And this was that man. And, you know, I'm not thirsty, y'all. Like, I refuse to ask a man anything. Like, it's just not happening. Call me old school, call me whatever. I'm just not doing it. And here it is, you know, like, I remember, it's so funny because I hardly remember important details. Like, y'all just don't understand. Don't even ask me, like, don't ask me what time my kids were born. Don't even ask me how much they weighed, because if it's been a year, I forgot, I promise. I barely know their birthday. No, I'm just joking. But he posted about his grandmother dying, and I just made a random, you know, like, little comment, you know, about his post, about his grandmother, and he jumped in the inbox, and we have not stopped talking. Like, and now we're married, and now we have a baby, and I look at him every day, and I'm like, really? Like, did this just happen? But I tell the truth, it was only because I was clear on who I was and where I was going, and I was clear on what my husband looked like, and not physically at all. Like, I don't know what he was going to look like physically, but what he looked like as far as what he was going to do in my life and what he was going to do for me. And I tell you, like, in our second or third phone conversation, you know, the knowledge that this man dropped on me, to where he was just like, you know, you got to love you first, and you got to fall in love with you more than anybody else, and, you know, a man needs to support you loving you. And I'm like, who are you? Like, what is this you speak of? Right? And we would have conversations about my past relationships, his past relationships, and the lessons we learned from them. And, ladies, let me just tell y'all right now, this is a big red flag sign, okay? If you are in a conversation with a man and you are talking about the past and everything is all them other women's fault, that's a red flag. Because everybody plays a part in everything. Whether your part was just that you was there and you shouldn't have been there to begin with, everybody plays a part. So to have a man who was sitting here just, you know, like, oh, yeah, and this woman, she taught me this about me, and she taught me this about, and I had to, you know, stop being like this, and I had to stop dating all these women because it was unnecessary, and I'm worth more than that. Right? Because, I mean, when we think about men, like, let's just be honest. When we think about men, we think, you know, they're like hoes undercover, right?
Right.
That's just what we think. I'm sorry to all the men listening. So to hear a man say something in complete contradiction, and so I just held on to, you know, God's promise, and I said, either this is my future husband, or this is the man to prepare me for my future husband. He's the man to clear out the rest of my cobwebs so that I'm exactly who my future husband needs. And it turned out that he was actually my future husband. And, you know, the rest is growing. It's not history yet. It's still growing. But so it's just, it's so interesting for me to be in this position now where, like, I can be like, oh, I remember those days. And be like, yeah, girl, we gonna work through that. It's going to be okay. What has been your pain point as a single mom? Like, what has been the one thing that has just, like, it just burns your spirit, your soul as a single mom? And let's start with Patricia.
You want to start with me? Okay. The thing that really, I have to say, I love being a mom. Like, I feel like, you know, I was made to be a mom. I love it. Now, what I don't have, which I used to have, which is different this time around, is that I'm a mom 24/7. Like I said, my last child, her father is nowhere in sight. So I don't have no other weekend. I'm getting rid of my kids. Nobody's coming to pick up for the holidays. And I have two. The other one, his dad passed away. So I'm mom 24/7. I really don't really get a break. That's a little, I know my son knows where I'm at, my end point, because he's the oldest in the house. He's 9. And I know he'd be like, this lady going crazy. That's a little difficult for me before I had a husband. So my husband used to, even though I did a lot of, you know, the mommy stuff and stuff, I had a mate, and he used to help me out and stuff. And with my oldest, her dad was very involved. He came, got home every other weekend. We had it set up on holidays. Well, holidays, he got her and stuff like that. So I always had more of a support system, so to say, than I do now.
Okay, okay. So the support system, I just need a break. I feel you. I feel you. Tasha, what would you say is your biggest pain point?
My biggest pain point is my son, my youngest son, knowing or realizing. I think the biggest heartbreak for me was when my older kid's father got out of the penitentiary and he came home, and then all of a sudden my twins were being picked up by their father. And my youngest son has never had that. Doesn't, you know, like I said, I didn't date, so no men came around. It was, you know, I have a brother, but I just have a brother. It's not like he was coming to get his nephews or anything like that. So it was literally me. And so when my twin's father started coming around, it hurt him because he's like, what is this thing called a dad? Like, what are you, you know, where are they going? Well, why is he taking them? Can I go? And so I think the biggest, and I mean, even still today, and the hardest part is not really having the, I mean, I have the answers, but not really wanting to give too much to him because of who he is and how he internalizes things and how things work in his mind, and me not necessarily knowing how they're going to work in his mind or how he's going to internalize that or how he's going to make that his fault or somebody else's fault or the questions that he's going to say, but he doesn't know how to verbalize, so they're going to linger in his head. My biggest pain point is him knowing that he doesn't have that part of his life that my older boys have, and it pains him when they go every weekend, every single morning, no matter the day of the week. He gets up, walks past my bedroom, and goes and looks in their bedroom every single morning. Not a morning goes by that he does not get up and go look in their bedroom to see if they're in there. And when they're not in there, he's like, when are they coming home? Even if he knew that they left the night before, he's like, when are my brothers coming home? Where are they at? Or they're with, you know, and he'll say their dad's name. And so I think the biggest and the most hurtful part is that, you know, like Patricia, he never goes anywhere 11 years later, and he's with me every day. You know, he doesn't have that other side of the family. He doesn't have that uncle that's going to come and get him. I play football when the weather's good. You know, I do those things that, generally speaking, the man does for him. But now that he realizes and it's registering with him and he understands a little bit more, it's hurtful to him. And I don't have the answers to soothe his heart because at the end of the day, he's still not there. So I can comfort him with my maternal instinct, but I can't give him what he feels like he needs or what he feels like he lacks because, you know, the reality is he's not here and he's never going to be here. So that would be the most difficult, painful part of, you know, the single parent life for me.
Wow. Okay. I know that's even when we don't, you know, for those of us that don't have autistic children, that's definitely a pain point. Like when one kid goes and the other one don't. You know, like how do you explain it? How do you fill that void? Like what do you say?
Right.
What do you do? So I definitely understand that. You, Miss Brittany, what has been your biggest pain point?
I guess realizing that I was doing it on my own. You know, making decisions for my kids, no matter what they were, me deciding to homeschool, me deciding, you know, to go this natural route as far as, like, food and health and things of that nature. Like, I was making all of the decisions There was no, you know, no one else to kind of piggyback or give their input or opinion about the decisions that I was making. So it was kind of hard because I wanted the input. I wanted, you know, their dads to be, you know, more involved and, you know, kind of have that, you know, that love for their children like I love them. And, you know, to want to be involved and know what's going on. Like, to me, that was, like, one of my pain points. Of course, I can't make them want to have a relationship. I can't make them want to be involved. I can't make them, you know, do anything. But that was just one of the things that I struggled with a lot. And to piggyback off what Patricia was saying, I totally understand, just as a single mom, like, like I said, my oldest son had a relationship with my youngest son's father before my youngest son was even born. So when he decided that he wasn't ready, he took a step back, and he took a step back from him. So once my, you know, once my youngest son started going with his dad, like, you know, he would go with him, and my oldest son was like, okay, wait a minute. Like, yeah, I have my own dad, but this is my dad too. And I know that kind of hurt him then, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad now that it's totally different. But that was hard for me. I cried a lot of days, you know what I'm saying, watching my son not truly understand, because he was only 4 at the time, 4 and a half when that happened. So he didn't understand. All he knew was him since he was a year old, you know, since he was a baby up until he was 4. So, you know, that's a pretty long time in a kid's eyes. So that, like I said, as a mom, I get it. I understand. I, you know, endured the same situation, so to speak.
I remember feeling all of these pain points, like every single one of these. Like, I remember. You know what's crazy? When I got married, these were the same pain points that I had because they were my pain points, right? And they were not indicative of the fact that I was single or married. These were just my reality and things that I that were hurting me about my reality, so much so that I remember, like, when it came to make a decision for the kids, like I used to, like, be like, my husband had to make the decision with me. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you can't just make a decision? No, you have to make it with me, because it was such a pain, you know what I mean? Like, it was such a pain point for me that I was just like, I'm not a single mom anymore. You have to help me. And he's like, you're crazy. you know, and even with, you know, when I had, this is my second marriage. So when I got divorced the first time and he stopped taking my older kid, you know, and now I'm like, you know, if you're going to build a relationship, like, this is going to be regardless. If we stay together, if we break up, you know, if I die, like, you know, and so it's just those pain points are things that we have to work through regardless. If we're single, married, dating, like, it doesn't matter. And I think that that was an eye-opener for me to realize, because I thought that they were, like, only single mom struggles. I don't know how many of you guys think that, like, this is just a struggle because I'm a single mom, and then, like, if I get married, I won't have this struggle anymore. Do any of you guys, like, feel that way?
I don't feel like that.
You don't feel like that. Okay. And, hey, you better than me, girl.
I mean, I feel like parents, you know, in general, mothers in general, a lot of the weight, for lack of a better word, falls on their shoulders. So I'm not saying that it's the same, but it's, I mean, you still have a lot of that weight on your shoulders.
Right. And I definitely agree with that. But I mean, like, I was like, because I hadn't dealt with the pain and these issues, like, they were still real. You know what I mean? And, like, I was just trying to, like, force something to happen to cover them up. If that makes any sense. I don't even know if that does. But, you know, like, and I, you know, even now, like, my two older kids, like, they leave and they go with their dad, right? And then my two younger kids don't go anywhere. And it almost makes me feel like, oh, my gosh, like, he's still going to fill a void. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, he's never had a dad. Like, I don't even know how I could pick, like, am I supposed to, like, find him a daddy to come pick him up on the weekends? Like, how do I? And I just had to realize some things, mainly that a lot of it was my own emotional thoughts
versus my son's, you know, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have issues with it or he didn't need to talk about it or work through it, but I know that I put a lot more on it, if that makes sense. And it's just so interesting.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, I missed it. What'd you say?
No, I was saying absolutely. Like, I know I do that too. I know that a lot of the things that I feel are not necessarily his feelings. It's just my guilt of it that I put on him.
Right, right. And not to say that he doesn't feel some kind of way, because he does, like, clearly, right? But you
right,
just,
right, right.
We add a book
mm-hmm.
to it and working through letting go of that extra weight that we don't have to carry, you know, like what Patricia was saying, like, that's a real thing. Like, they're really not going anywhere. Like, they're really here 24/7. Can somebody
yep.
just come get them for 5 minutes, please?
Yep. mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's real. But at the same time, like, are we really doing the best that we can to maybe alleviate that? Like, have we built a mommy network? And, you know, like the whole, remember the Single Moms Club movie? Like, how they, like, swapped kids and with the moms, like,
yeah.
like we could do that in real life, like, can't we? But those are just all the things that we just don't think about. And I mean, I know it takes probably a little longer to do that in real life, because I gotta make sure you cool and not Coco for Cocoa Puffs.
Exactly.
But like, it could happen, and it's something that we can do. You know, so we gotta think outside the box, y'all, to start fixing some of our pain points and our issues. But we gonna make it happen. And I'm sure these are like things that other moms listening are like, oh yeah, girl, I'm right there with you on that one. Like, oh yeah, they can just go somewhere. So yeah. Well, what do you guys think about? You know, like, what do you guys hope to achieve? Like, you know, why did you agree to do this podcast? Like, I always find that interesting to share with people.
Well, I have a love for, like, encouraging moms, like, and just talking to people. Like, that's what I do. And I don't know, I'm just excited to be a part of it because, you know, it's in me.
Right, right, okay.
I like the sisterhood of it. It is one thing to know that you have friends or associates that you see on a regular basis that are single parents, but it's you, when you speak of it to your friends, it's normally like, you know, my such and such baby daddy, he ain't this and he ain't that, and it's not a very constructive conversation. And so I think one of the things that I like about this platform is that we're able to have a conversation that, I mean, not, I'm not saying that all of our conversation will be positive, but that it allows you to think outside of the box a little bit, not in such a haste, not when your feelings are, you know, over the top. Just to be able to think outside the box and get someone else's point of view about something, and then maybe something that you weren't thinking about, you'll be like, that makes sense. Maybe it was my approach. Maybe I am a part of the problem. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe I can be a part of the solution, as opposed to it's him, and he's not doing this, or, you know, we're not co-parenting because he's, whatever the case may be. But I think it's a good platform where we're able to discuss and get feedback and have a tribe, have a sisterhood. I like it. I appreciate it, actually.
Well, we promise to always be constructive, right, ladies? We may not always be positive, but we will always be constructive.
right.
And Patricia, because, I mean, you said yes more than once. So why?
Yes.
Why? We need to know why.
The first time when I say yes, I really was like, you know what, I need to get out my comfort zone and do something different. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to push ourselves and be risk takers and, you know, healthy risk takers. Now, for the second time, I enjoy hearing people's stories. You can always learn something from somebody. Everybody's story is different, even though it may have some similarity to it. And I love doing the interviews, when we interview different people and how you tell your story. You go from one time to another time and another. Now you're here, past, present, and future. The future you, the present you, the past you, and you learning and growing with other women who want to learn and grow also. And you never know who's listening, who you can help. So it is definitely a great platform for that.
Oh, okay, okay. So she said yes the first time to just do something new, and then she stayed, y'all, because she likes the stories. So for all of you listening for the first time, that means that we got some juiciness. Keep listening. Well, ladies, I always like to talk about, you know, if we could tell someone, I call it our sage. So if we could tell someone who is in the exact situation that we were in, whether it be we were in a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 minutes ago, right? Just a situation that we've learned from. What is your one piece of sage that you would definitely want another?
You know what? This is Patricia. One piece of sage is that we are definitely not just single moms. We not our circumstances. This is just a period in time in our life that we may be going through. And just like our children, they go through different stages. They are toddler, they need things when they are baby, toddler, and teenagers. It's different stages and different things they need. Same with us being moms. This is one stage of it. We go to a different stage as being women and mothers. It's just different stages in our life that we're going through at this time.
Okay. Tasha, Brittany?
This is Tasha. I think my one piece of sage kind of piggybacks off of her a little bit is that we're not just single parents. Like, you are still a woman. You are still the best version of yourself, no matter what it is, even in the darkest times, and that you have to make sure that you look at yourself every day and remember who you are. Even before your feet hit the floor, even before the first mommy comes out, you have to remember who you are, and you have to stand strong to that. And if that means that you have to go get your nails done so that you can have that one thing to yourself, you have to do that. But try not to lose yourself in being a mommy, because it's hard to get out of that once you've completely – if all you are is a mother, then you've forgotten who you were and who you are in the – soul of yourself.
Okay, okay. Miss Brittany?
And I kind of want to piggyback too from what Miss Patricia said. Single momhood is only a season. It's not a forever thing. And on this journey, we're going to learn, we're going to grow, and I believe that's the whole purpose in it all, that we mature and grow as our children are maturing and growing, that we continue to grow. And just like any season, just like winter, spring, summer, and fall, all seasons change.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I just have to say, the season only changes in single mommyhood when you make it change. You are in control of this one.
Right.
But my stage is always just grow through what you go through. Whatever it is, grow through it. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it stagnate you. Don't let it have you stuck. You've got to grow through it. If we just commit to growing, just really growing through everything we grow through, like, we will be unstoppable forces, y'all. Like, we can change the world. We can do everything and anything. And we already changed the world. So just think of how much more we could do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is about that time. For us to have to get off of here, to let you mommies listening get back to your day, and to let us get back to raising these babies. But before we do, I want to give each of you ladies an opportunity to let them know where to connect with you at, where to follow you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, if you got a website, if you run a business. Here's that moment to tell them whatever it is about you, so that they can stay connected to you as well as to the network. Let's start with Ms. Patricia.
My name is Patricia Taylor. You can find me on Facebook as Patricia Taylor. I'm on Instagram under, what is it, under Patricia Stewart. And like I said, I'm a mom, a brand ambassador. It works, and a health care provider.
All right, all right, all right. Miss Tasha?
All right, so you can find me on Facebook as well right now under Natasha Stevens. But I am your homeschool, everything, question person, counselor, all the things that you need. So the business that I have is called ACE Learning, which stands for A Creative Energy Learning. And so by the next time that we speak, I'll be able to direct you to exactly where that will be. But thank you.
Yay. And Ms. Brittany?
All right, guys, you can find me on Facebook at Brittany Willis, and you also see my name in parentheses as Honeybee. So Brittany Willis and parentheses Honeybee on Facebook. You can also find me on IG at honey_ the letter B and the word blessed, and also honey BMUA because I'm also a makeup artist. I also have two pages as well. But you can find my book, Praying, Praising, and Potty Training Life of a Single Mama, at 365blessedlife.com. And that's 365blessedlife.com. And other merch as well.
All right. And it is your girl, her, she, me, Miss Jennifer Pink, known affectionately as the Single Mom Sage. Just encouraging everyone to grow through what they go through. You can find me on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, all of that, at Ms. Jennifer Pink, MSJENNIFER, pink like the color. And you can check out my virtual world at MissPinksWorld.com, MSPINKS, world.com. And until next time, before we do go, we got to tell y'all, make sure every Thursday that you catch our podcast on your favorite podcasting app. That's this podcast, The Real with Say Single Moms, every Thursday. Make sure you follow us on all social media at Sage Mentoring, SageMentoring. And we've got like some sisters in podcasts on our Sage Network that you got to make sure you follow, like, and tune into as well. But until next time, we want to make sure that you all have peace, love, you raise them babies, and of course, Baby Powder Freshness. Until next time, bye.